On Wednesday.
Is it only on a Wednesday?
Yes.
Oh, psych. But, so if on a Wednesday you guys come and everybody has like their own personal Bible, not the phone Bible, but a real live Bible, you guys get a treat. Candy, I believe, is what's on the line. So turn to the book of Daniel. I didn't say it, huh? Sorry. Daniel. I did. Daniel chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Daniel. And then when you get it, you can stand on your feet. It's in the Old Testament. Oldie but a goodie. Man, let me think of the order. It's like
Daniel,
Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel and Daniel. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel.
Yep.
Whew. Ooh, I'm rusty on the Old Testament side of things.
Whew. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel.
Yep. So it's a relatively short prophet. He's a prophet. He's a prophet, and he didn't even knoff it.
No, I didn't.
I know. Okay, so we're going to start in verse 5. We're actually going to talk about the whole chapter today, but we're starting in verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for each of them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, Hananiah he gave Shadrach, Mishael he gave Meshach, and Azariah he gave Abednego. Sound familiar? Yeah, it does. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for those who have gone before us, even if it was thousands of years ago, and have made a name for you, and have done things that are hard and challenging, and they did it for you, and they did it well. And so we pray that as we look at this young prophet, that we would learn from him, that we would grow in you and grow deeper in you, and we pray that you would just bless this time. Fill me with your spirit, and let us all be encouraged in you today. And we pray this all in your name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, so over summer, guys, we're taking a break from like our main series thing. Normally, we do Sundays. Wow, see, I'm already up from the stool. Normally, we do Sundays and Wednesdays. We'll go through one series and we'll do it together. But for summer, we're going to take a break from that. And me and Sam, we're just going to teach from whatever's on our heart at the moment. And it, like, I'm sure the Lord will lead it so it'll kind of complement one another. But maybe not. Maybe it'll just be a fresh theme each night. But for us on Sundays, we're going to start kind of a mini series in the book of Daniel. So we're going to take, just on Sundays, we're going to take like a semi-in-depth look at the life of Daniel. He's a relatively interesting guy. He's not actually a full-time prophet, which is interesting. You know how a lot of pastors, they have to work a full-time job so they can do what God has called them to do? Daniel's kind of like that. He works a full-time job in the secular world. He's not like working as a Christian. He's working, well, he is a Christian, but he's working within the secular realm. So like truck driving, a state job, working as a nurse at a hospital that isn't like a Christian hospital, just McDonald's. Daniel works at McDonald's. Not really. He has a better job than McDonald's, in my opinion. But we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it not super slow. We're not going to just take our sweet time, but we're going to take a pretty good look at it. And we're going to see what I think is really cool, that Daniel sets an example for us that is really important in the culture that you guys are growing up in currently. Because instead of fleeing the culture, he embraces it full on and shows us how we can live as Christians in a dark, fallen world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven." So Daniel's going to show us almost like a step-by-step how to live as believers in a world of non-believers, how to show the character of Jesus, how to show the love of Jesus, and how to be Christians, and how to make an impact in this world that we live in. And I love this book because it's like a good movie, you know? It's got twists, it's got turns, it's like sometimes you're at the edge of your seat waiting for what's going to happen, sometimes you're sad. Sometimes you're like pumped up, you're thinking Daniel's gonna like take somebody down, and then sometimes you're like, oh no, you're just scared, you're really scared. And so it's a super exciting book. But I ask this of you guys, because you've heard the name Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego growing up at this church probably 800 times, I don't know if 800 times, but you've probably watched the Veggie Tales a whole bunch of times. Rackshack and Benny, we know it, we know them, but I ask that you wouldn't just check out. Don't just say, I've heard this 1,000 times, I know what comes next, I know how it is, it's just a story in the Bible. But try to look at it in new goggles, with fresh goggles. You've got your junior high eyes. I don't know, did you guys go over Daniel? No, so this is fresh for all of your junior high eyes. So, be fresh with it. Let it be fresh. So let's dive right in. We start with a backstory so we can get caught up. You know, it's kind of like the pre-story, the like introduction to the main story. The what? Pre-game story. This is the pre-game story. You have to play it to know what's going on, but it's always like we focus on the main story and we forget the pre-story, but we're going to look at the pre-story. So the book opens, King Jehoiakim, he's in his third year of his reign. He's the king of Judah, that's like the kind of leading tribe of Israel. And everything's going good, sun's shining. It's probably one of those things everybody wakes up each day and they're like, da 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 da. Everybody's living how they want and loving life. But then, da da da, then good old Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he comes and he attacks Judah, he attacks Israel, and he breaks in and he conquers. He like divides and conquers this nation. He takes over Jerusalem, so he takes over the capital, and then breaks into the temple where they worship God. Like some people say that he burned it up, took their furniture and then brought it to the temple of his gods and was like, oh, I think that couch would look good right next to the moon god. Bam! Like, crazy! That's so bad! That's so sad! But Nebuchadnezzar, that's from the VeggieTale. But Nebuchadnezzar, can I call him Nebi? He's in control. He took over. And that's where they stand. It's like, it's really hopeless. There's despair, there's loss, and then later on, we're going to see that good old King Nebi is a lot like the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland. So, in light of that fact, that's kind of foreshadowing. We're going to come back and be like, oh, that's why. But, in light of that, this morning's teaching is called Daniel in Wonderland. But it gets even worse. So, Nebi, he took over Jerusalem, and then he says, bring me some young men so I can take them back to Babylon and basically make them work for me. I'll teach them, they'll learn, they'll grow, and then they'll work for me. They'll serve me as Babylonian servants, basically. But of those chosen were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But their names are changed to something you probably recognize a little more. Belteshazzar, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what's interesting is the meaning of their names. So Daniel's name originally was God is my judge. That's what it meant. But then they changed it to Belteshazzar, which means Bel protect his life. And Bel was one of the false gods in Babylon at the time. And Hananiah, his name meant God has favored. They changed it to Shadrach, which means command of Aku. And Aku was the moon god. Mishael, that means who is what God is. It's like, who is what God is? No one is like God. And then they changed his name to Meshach, which is who is as Aku is, who is as the moon god is. And then Azariah, God has helped. That's what it originally meant. And then they changed it to Abednego, which is servant of Neb, or servant of Nego. And that was also a false god that was in Babylon. So we see that these people, they take in these young men, and they just do what they know, because it's an evil place, it's a dark place, it's a worldly place, and they just, you call yourself the people of God, so we're going to call you the people of our God. So there we see that Babylon isn't a, like, happy, welcoming, warm place where everything's tolerated, you can say what you want and be what you want. No, Babylon is a dark, worldly place, and they are set in their ways of false teaching, false worship, and idolatry. But these young Christian men are given something that is very, very powerful in the lives of Christians. They're given a voice, and they're given power. Think of Joseph. You guys know the story. In Egypt, he's his brother's sold into slavery. He's in there, and then he's in Egypt. He doesn't really want to be. Who wants to be in Egypt when he's taken away from his family? He's made a slave, but then he's raised up. He, like, climbs the ladder, and all of a sudden, he's, like, second to Pharaoh. That's crazy. And Joseph has a voice. He's able to speak to one of the most powerful leaders in the world. He's able to say, here's what God is saying. Here's what your dream means. Here's how I live out my Christian faith. And as Christians, we need to desire those powerful places, not for ourselves, not so we can have control, but so we can give God more control in this world. And that's a powerful thing. Recently, there was, like, a Christian movement where we locked in on ourselves. We went to Bible college. We homeschooled. We did everything to keep ourselves locked in. And we're realizing that with that teaching, with that focus, we end up forgetting about the world that is out there. And there's such a need for Christians to be, like, charting the sciences, charting the discoveries, charting the new world, charting politics. And so we need to push. We need to be involved in that. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to show us how to do that. We see that these young men, they were chosen because they were diligent. Does anybody know what diligence means? Okay. Basically, what diligence means is it's a constant, earnest, this is the dictionary, earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. So really, it's just when something's before you, you do it with all your might. You do it with all that you are. You go hard for it. And today, we're going to look at three ways that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three ways that they were diligent, and how we can also be diligent in our lives. So first, we're going to look at diligence in skill, in the skills. Diligence in battle, the battle. And then diligence in relationship. Ooh, wow, that's very interesting. Skill, battle, relationship. So let's start looking at the diligence in skill. So Daniel 1 verse 4, it says, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So here we see that these guys were young. And a lot of people think that they're in their, like, mid-teens. So these guys, a lot of people assume they're like 16, 15, but we don't know for sure. Like sometimes when the Bible says young, it just means like under 40. So we don't know 100% certain, but we assume that they're in their teens, young men. So imagine, you could be deported to a country you've never been in just a few years. Just kidding. That was a joke. I'm joking. But we see that they're young. And we see that they're good looking. And I realize this is something that we personally don't have control of. Like, we can't help it if we were born with, like, a thick gross mustache and hair that's out of control, and like a nubby nose that we inherited from our father. You know, we can't control that. So that's out of our control. But most importantly, we see that whatever these guys were doing, they did it to the best that they could. We see that they're gifted in all wisdom. They're possessing knowledge, quick to understand. They're quick learners. They know how to learn well and how to do it quickly. So whatever God has in front of us, we need to do it to the best of our abilities. If we can read books a lot. If we are learning how to read, learn how to read a lot. If you're an artist, art a lot. I just made art a verb. Always be arting. It's so important. Master your art. If you're a musician, play music like it's going out of style. It's not going to, but play it like it is. If you're an athlete, be sporting. And don't just sport for yourself, but sport hard. Sport even when you don't want it. Be the best you can be. If you've been gifted with an opportunity to have a free education, which all of you have, do it with everything. Be educated. You don't need to be the best in your class, but be the best that you can be. Strive to be the best. Be diligent. If you're a writer, if you're more the creative type, write. Practice writing. You know, you don't like pump out a best-selling novel overnight. You gotta write. You gotta learn how to write. Learn how you write. Learn how to voice other people. Learn how to do this, do that. Do it. Bible studying. As Christians, we need to be seeking deep in the Word with diligence. Learn how to study the Word. Learn how to dig deep. How to tear apart verses and be like, ooh, so much depth. 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, whatever we're doing, if we're reading a book for class that we hate, if we're like studying for a test in junior high that is the worst test we've ever tested on, do it with all that you are. Do it to the best of your abilities. It doesn't mean get 100%. It means whatever you're able to do, do it. And then when you're like, I can't do anymore, do it. I think there's like this Marine saying where it's like, when you're worn out, you've only invested 40%. So when you've like reached your peak, you've only invested 40%. So there's still 60% deep inside. The person who quoted this, I think he like is known for having ran like hundreds of miles and like breaking every bone in his foot. So maybe not a good guy to take advice from, but we can take advice from Daniel. He did everything he could to the best of his ability. And it showed. As Christians serving the Lord, we should shine. People should notice there's a difference. Whether it's the way we focus on people when they're around us, or the way we listen to our coach without hesitation, we just do whatever he asks. Or it's the way that we're always investing in our arts and in our school and our studies. We should shine because we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for something that's way more important. We do it for God. So we see diligence in skill, diligence in the skills. But then second, they're diligent in battle. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. As Christians, we're engaged in a constant battle. That doesn't mean that like when non-Christians walk up to us, we need to be ready in case they attack. No, we're not engaged in like an attacking battle. We're engaged in a battle against sin. We have a flesh that's always thirsting for sin. We have an enemy, the devil, who will stop at nothing to feed our flesh, sin. So there's these opposing forces within us. There's our spirit that wants to do what is right. And then there's our flesh that just wants sin. It thirsts for sin. It has been described before as two dogs battling within you. Like you have a white dog over here that's like super pure and awesome, and it's a Great Dane because Great Danes are my favorite. And then you have like a pit bull over here and like a black pit bull because that's even worse. But whatever dog you feed most is going to be stronger. So this Great Dane, Great Danes have interesting metabolisms to where you can't feed them too much, but you have to make sure they stay fed enough or they'll just die upon themselves. So if you're not feeding the spirit, praying, meditating on God's word, this pit bull over here, he's going to bulk up. Every time you sin, he's going to beef up, get a little stronger. And then he's going to take out the Great Dane. And then we'll all cry because we love Great Danes. And that would be the saddest story. But Daniel lives under the old law. So what this means is he had certain things that he couldn't eat. He couldn't eat unclean meats. And he couldn't eat meat or any kind of food that was offered to an idol. So we assume that when it says the king's delicacies, it was either unclean meat that he couldn't eat, or it was offered to idols, and therefore he couldn't eat it. So it would have been a sin for him to eat the king's meat. And imagine that temptation. Food is good, and this is kingly food. Ooh, I've never eaten like a king, but if a king says, this is my delicacy, this is like the best food I have, and you can have some, that'd be tough. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I know. It would be tough. But notice what verse 9 says. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacy. So ahead of time, before the food was right in front of him and that temptation was smelling up his nose, he purposed in his heart that he would not give in to the sin. Sin is more accessible right now than it probably ever was before. And it's probably, I would argue, more acceptable than it ever was before, to where there's things in this world and groups of people in this world that encourage us to live out our sin with boldness and to claim that it's a right, or to claim that it's natural, or to claim that it's whatever it may be. So it's more accessible and more acceptable than ever before. And it's a sign that Christians are soon to be raptured. It's a sign that Jesus is coming back soon. But as Christians, we have power over sin. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that gives us the power to say no to sin, no matter how acceptable it is, how accessible it is in our culture. We have this power to say no deep in our hearts. But it means nothing unless we make that decision. We still have a very important decision to make of if we want to give in to the sin or if we want not to give in to the sin. So, we have to make this decision before the temptation comes. You know, we can't just be like, oh, I hope I don't fall into sin today. I'm going to hang out with my friends who always, like, tempt me to sin, and I hope that they won't. No, we have to, ahead of time, before we're in the temptation, make an honest decision deep in our hearts if we want to give in to that sin or if we don't want to. And I know sometimes sin looks real good. Sometimes we would rather give in to sin. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. So there's a time where sin is good. Sin is tasty. Sin is pleasurable. But that season, for some it's just a few minutes. For some it's a few years. Some it's 10 years. But that sin is not pleasurable for long. And as Christians, we need to decide, do we want to give in to sin or do we want to live to the Spirit and live a holy life? Now the question is, why should we stop sinning? Like, if we can just repent of it and be forgiven, and it's not like as Christians when we sin we lose our faith. So why do we need to stop sinning? Well, one, because Jesus gave his life for us. And it's the least we could do to say, okay, in thankfulness for what you've done, I'm going to try to stop sinning and I'm going to try to act more like you and love you and serve you. But then also, the Bible tells us that God and sin are like oil and water. They do not mix at all in the life of a Christian. It puts a huge strain on a Christian's relationship with God when there's sin involved in the life. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." You know, some people, they'll say like, man, I felt really distant from God. I've never had that moment where God has really spoken to me. God has really shown me his word. But like, then they're playing video games till they get tired that are filled with inappropriate language or inappropriate things. They're always focused on themselves and always filled with envy and jealousy. Or they're accessing things that they shouldn't be looking at or shouldn't be hearing or seeing or watching. And that's why you're not receiving that closeness with Christ. That's why a Christian can feel far from God oftentimes, because there's sin in the life. Now, there are times where it's a trial and it's a dry season and we need to just continue seeking after God. But a lot of times there's sin involved and we just need to repent of the sin and seek after Jesus. And when that sin is repented of, when we've turned from it, we will receive that closeness and that one-on-one intimacy with God. So we see that we need to be diligent in skills. We need to do all that we are and all that we can. And then we need to be diligent in the battle against sin. We need to be constantly saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. We need to flee sin when it comes. Timothy says to flee youthful lust. And pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love. But then we see, number three, diligence in relationship. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not diligent in any of these things for themselves, but it was for God that they did all of this. Our relationship with God must always come first. And like any relationship with any person, we have to put time into it. We have to put focus. We have to put work into it. You know, like, later on in the future, when you start dating other human beings, you will realize that a relationship dies if you don't give it time, if you don't give it focus, if you don't give it care. Imagine like meeting a guy or a girl, going out for coffee, and the whole time you're on your phones and texting somebody else and doing something else. You're never going to get to know that person. You're never going to actually be able to fall in love with that person. And like a real relationship, we need to get to know Jesus. We need to fall in love with Jesus. Psalm 119, we see the writer of that psalm is passionate about his relationship with Jesus. He wakes up early to meet with Jesus, and then he stays up late to meet with Jesus. It's like the word to him is like food. It's like water. It's more important than those main necessities. He says in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. He delights in God. He delights in his word. And that's how we need to be, delighting after God, diligent in his relationship with us, seeking after him, getting to know him, worshiping, praying, meditating, fellowshipping, whatever it may be. So as we come to a close, we see in verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Because of Daniel's diligence in these three areas, because he did the best that he could in everything he did, because he fought against sin with all that he was, and because he pushed hard into God and denied this world and sought after his relationship with God, he was rewarded. Like crazy. God is sovereign. That means he's in control over everything. And God has the power when we obey him and commit ourselves to him and are diligent. He has the power to move us up in places in the world. Now, this doesn't mean that like if you're obedient to Christ and if you do the best you can, that you're going to be a billionaire and like the leader of the world. No, it does not mean that. I'm sorry. But for some, it will mean that God will reward them with positions of authority, positions where people look up to them. And then for others, it will mean that God will reward them with discipleship, with a voice in certain people's lives. And then for some, it will just mean that God will reward them when they get into heaven. And that's an eternal reward. That's crazy. And we know that the more we commit to God, the more we serve him, the greater our reward in heaven will be. So, the question is, though, how does it end for Daniel? How's this all go? Well, let me tell you. Daniel, he tells the eunuch, the kind of master of the young men, the guy who's in control of them, he says, dude, I can't eat your food. And the guy's like, are you crazy? Nebi's going to chop off my head if I don't, he's gonna be all like, off with your head. Get it? Queen of Hearts, Alice in Wonderland.
Ha ha.
But Daniel says, give me 10 days. I'm gonna eat just vegetables and water. Me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're just gonna eat vegetables and water, and then compare us to the other guys who are eating all those fatty meats and drinking your wine and whatever else they're eating. Compare us and then see how we look. So after 10 days, the eunuch probably expected these guys to be like skeletons after eating just vegetables and water, but they looked more healthy and more fit than all the other guys eating their meats and drinking their wine. So the eunuch allows them to continue eating the vegetables and they're not defiled. And then after 3 years of the training, Nebuchadnezzar brings them before himself. This was like the original American Idol, the original America's Got Talent. He brought them before him and he simply interviewed them, and then he chose who he thought was the best. And who do you think he chose? None other than Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Crazy. And then verse 20 tells us that they were 10 times better than the scientists, the philosophers, the problem solvers that Nebuchadnezzar had before them. So they're 10 times smarter, 10 times wiser than all of the well-educated people that Nebuchadnezzar had working for them. And there they worked, these four young Christians. At this time, they're probably 20, 21, 2 years out of high school, in one of the most powerful positions in the known world at that time. And they weren't leaving their faith. They didn't say, now that we're in this powerful position, we have to stop being Christians. No, they brought it into that place. They brought it into that position. And now these young Christians could speak to basically like the president of the world and say, hey, dude, here's what God thinks. Hey, dude, here's how I live because of God. And imagine the power that they had, the power that they were giving God in the world. That's crazy. And if we are diligent in the things that God has led us to, that God has called us to, we can go places that we would have never gotten to on our own. It's crazy. It's totes cray. I think it's awesome. So, stay tuned. I know it's kind of a cliffhanger. It's like, what do they do next now that they got the position? Well, come back next week and we're going to look at it. We're going to see how they grow, how they change, what they do, what they don't do. It's going to be really good. Let's pray, and then you guys can feel free to hang out, play dodgeball, get some candy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word and for the example that Daniel has set for us. We pray that you would make us more like Daniel, Lord, and make us more like you. Show us what it means to be diligent in what you called us to, Lord. How can we be better children to our parents? How can we be better students? How can we be better athletes, better musicians, better artists, Lord? Teach us how to do the gifts that you've given us to the best of our abilities, Lord. And then help us in our battle against sin. Fill us with your spirit and help us to make that decision ahead of time that we will not sin, Lord. And then grow our relationship with you, Lord. Be our everything. Be all that we need. We love you so much, Father, and we pray that you would go with us this week. Go before us, we pray. We pray that you would fill us with your spirit and be in each of our interactions. And we pray all this in your name. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.